Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, citizens of the Internet. We are anonymous. On September 17th, Anonymous will flood into Lower Manhattan, set up tents, kitchens, peaceful barricades, and occupy Wall Street for a few months. Once there, we shall incessantly repeat one simple demand in a plurality of voices. We want freedom. This is a nonviolent protest. We do not encourage violence in any way. The abuse and corruption of corporations, banks, and governments ends here. Join us. We are Anonymous. We are Legion. We do not forgive. We do not forget. Wall Street, expect us.
Until you wake up, we will fight for you.
Good.
It's about testifying. Welcome to Hear Be Monsters, and we have become part of a drumline network of radical activists on air supporting occupation of Wall Street and the occupation coming up of Washington, D.C. of October 2011 in any American city, and they are popping up little groups here and there. I don't know if you've heard, but that's part of what we're going to be doing on air. And this is a drumline that we're establishing that will also include shows like the Wild Wild Left with Diane G and Brad Holhut, so Pinko the Bear Show, and also Rick Spivak over at Progressive News Network. I'm sure he'll be giving little updates too. What we're doing is we're boycotting the MSM, the media blackout, and we're establishing the truth and speaking it to power as best we can, and giving you the information through the social networks of what is going on as best we can, through Twitter, through Facebook, through any through telephone calls with people who are attending and being a part of the activists that are up there at Occupy Wall Street. The song that you heard was Raging at the Machine, and it's called Testify. And it's the song chosen by Anonymous as sort of a theme song, so we're going to be using that a lot to introduce it. tonight, this portion, Here Be Monsters, will be on every day that an American city is in occupation by protesters who are looking to bring the message to the buffoons that we have as politicians and the corporate machine that is forbidding our government to lead us. So basically what we've got going on is a boycott and a protest on air. We're doing our little best here with just our Blog Talk Radio shows to put some kind of media together that tells the truth about what's going on. We're developing. And tonight with me, we are sponsored by Roundtree7.com, and that's number 7, a posting spot, a blog online that brings knowledge to the social consciousness, and that's our that is our purpose here. Knowledge to the social consciousness. With me tonight, it is Sunday, September 25th, and Jack Jodell from Roundtree7.com, and also Saturday Afternoon Post. Jack, you still with me after all that?
Yeah, I sure am, by golly. What a great thing that is happening on Wall Street right now, and I want to thank each and every participant that's out there protesting against the excessive corporate profits and corporate evil doing. They are doing a huge benefit for the entire working and middle class in this country. So hats off to every one of them. They are true heroes, true American patriots.
Definitely they are, Jack. What's been going on out there has been that in the last, we are now in the ninth day of this occupation, and what has been going on out there, what is being tweeted over the Twitter network,
mm-hmm.
is stuff. I mean, and that is the drumline. That's where the real info is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Keith Olbermann, by the way, tomorrow night on his show Countdown on Current TV, will be doing his third report on the occupation. We've got Wisconsin protesters tweeting about this in solidarity. And here's the thing in the afternoon, this afternoon, that's been coming up over and over again. We'll talk about the arrests. We'll talk about everything else. We got Manny Jelonsky, and our author buddy from New York. He has been the correspondent for the Independent in New York, and he has been attending. So we will call
Great.
Him in a few moments. We also, going back to the tweets here, I wanted to bring people up. This is the thing. a bunch of Homeland Security people showed up this afternoon at Occupy Wall Street over at Liberty Plaza. And there's some really wonderful pictures of them. They're on, if anybody's interested, you can find them at Journey Through Roundtree 7 on Facebook. But you can find them everywhere, OccupyWallStreet.org. There is pictures of these fellows from Homeland Security wearing Guy Fawkes masks, which are the anonymous signature. And they're surrounding the whole area. And that's got to be given. There's also biohazard people from the police department that are showing up. And so it's got people a little shaky, but not too bad. I have to say that these folks at Occupy Wall Street right there who are ongoing with it, living it every day. After yesterday, there was between 80 and 100 arrests, Jack.
Oh, utterly ridiculous. On what grounds? I mean, this is a completely nonviolent protest. Nobody's damaging anything. It's absolutely police state tactics. That stuff's got to stop right now.
Well, but they tiptoe up to them, they make some arrests, and then they pull back. It is a peaceful demonstration. It's a peaceful protest, and it's very hard. They actually corralled with orange netting, which is generally used by the police department up there to catch debris and keep it off the street and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
They used orange netting to round up a lot of ladies, and they pepper sprayed them.
That's unforgivable.
And arrested, then arrested them. And this is their way of physically intimidating these women into, you know, getting the hell out of there and going home. They're mainly.
What are we turning into, old Red Square? I mean, that is so ridiculous.
Well, you know, you have to remember, I mean, there's a continuous live blogging over at the Dissenter at Fire Dog Lake.
Okay.
And they're giving up to the minute information over there.
Great.
You got to hook up. If you're not on the social nets right now, you're missing what is actually going on over there. You have to go and take a look for it. But can you imagine if these networks had been available when people were, you know, filling the greens at Kent State or protesting the Vietnam War or the Montgomery and Birmingham marches? Can you imagine how much further down the road we'd be right now?
Exactly.
And they figured out from then that they were never going to let media take a front page to anything again, because how could they go through with their shock and awe if they did?
Exactly, and media does not report. It doesn't report correctly, and it doesn't report thoroughly. It reports bland, meaningless crap and ignores important real stuff. It's just ridiculous.
It is. I don't understand.
The news blackout on this. It's unbelievable.
You know, they don't want people doing it, obviously. Now, we're going to have to call in Reverend Manny. And,
great. Let's hear what's happening. That sounds great.
I will do so right now. And while I am, I have to ask you, have you seen any kind of news at all in your travels about it?
I've seen Keith Olbermann mention it twice now. And have it
with Michael Moore, right?
With Michael Moore, and it's, you know, he can't believe it either that you know that many people are protesting right on Wall Street of all places, right off of Wall Street, as it were, and he can't believe that there's a complete shutdown of the media on it. It is just it's almost like a conspiracy. It's ridiculous.
It is. It absolutely is. I don't know. I don't know how to get this phone not to be, you know, the ringer.
That's okay, no problem.
Hello? Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. Manny, thank you for joining us today.
Hi, Reverend
really
Manny.
Appreciate it.
How you all doing, man? It's honestly an honor to be back on the air, and this time with Populist Media yet again. I was so glad to hear about your Drumline collection. I mean, this is how news of this got out in the first place. It's how movement seems to have been built. And it's very interesting to see that the MSM has almost created an alternative pathway for people to create their own media yet again.
Right. And it's good that it's happening,
true.
And let's hope that it grows.
I think that's one of the interesting things that's going on right now. As you folks mentioned, I've been reporting this for The Independent this past week, and I just got off the phone with one of our sources down there. I'm talking maybe 20, 25 minutes ago. They had the arrest count at a total of 96 from last night. There were reports of injuries. What also sort of exacerbated the situation is folks had sort of slept through the night in the rain a few times. So a bad situation got a little bit gritty as well. So as you mentioned, they were actively using the netting. And I think what's great, instead of folks having to turn to Channel 11 or whatever have you, to see the live footage, which is only streamed to you or given to you in 4-second bites, visual bites, folks are now going on the YouTube and reposting and finding their own ways through social networks to create the kind of media they wanted to see in the first place, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's sort of the big growth. So you mentioned, where are we? I think in some ways the movement has been encouraged, just my observation has been, that every time there's an arrest, it feels like more people show up. And then there's a lull, and then the cops crack down again. And like this last night, there were about, our sources put in, I have two of them on this, between 400 and 550 sleeping out last night. That's compared to the 250 we had on Wednesday night that I saw out there.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, I encourage you to keep it up. It's a great, great endeavor, and it can only be beneficial in the long run. No doubt about that.
I think you folks have mentioned the lack of the mainstream media a few times, and I think it's almost been what's been great about the situation. From what I've noticed, I've seen a lot of innovation from the folks on the ground. At first, they set up their computers in a sort of more general kind of way, but then they created a sort of media team. That media team then began to coordinate how they would put out their information, found ways to find legal help from the National Legal Guild and other groups. And as a matter of fact, as I went down there Friday afternoon, I would say 7 out of 10 protesters or occupiers, the regulars, I would say that 7 out of 10 of them had the National Legal Guild or some local legal group's number written on their arm and wrist, just so that they were prepared. You know, so
good.
I think the MSM coverage of this has sort of created a DIY, a do-it-yourself atmosphere for both the media and sort of the democracy.
Well, it proves that we're not going to be silenced, because this is ridiculous. This veil of silence they've enshrouded on this thing, that cannot stand. So,
and Howard Zinn once made a really great point about this. It is not necessarily just ignoring the fact, but it's sort of dismissing it in a certain light. So when you see the coverage from the mainstream media, a lot of it will be distant. They'll cut to the interview of the one guy who is partially confused by the question. They'll cut it so that it looks like just a bunch of people yelling and chanting together.
Right.
They're sort of not covering is the hour-and-a-half-long General Assembly meetings, or they're not covering that they have a rain and sanitation committee that makes sure that the Ducati Plaza, which renamed Liberty Plaza, is as clean or cleaner than the way they found it. What they're sort of not reporting is that they're coming up with daily sort of democratic processes for how to survive and then how to put their demands out there.
Good. That's outstanding.
Well, and what I have seen in the mainstream media has been rather negative little blurbs about arrests being made and people being, you know, sort of making it look like, you know, a ridiculous small behavior problem.
Bunch of wacky radicals somewhere, you know. It's crazy the way they portray it.
You guys hit it right on the head. Waging Nonviolence has had just incredible coverage of this as well. You should check The Independent, check Waging Nonviolence, check Twitter. The independent alternative press and blogs have sort of covered for where there hasn't been any coverage of this. And I think you'll find that, you know, like, it's been dismissed, or they had this great piece today about, you know, it's more than a hashtag and it's more than arrest. You know, mm-hmm. and that's what you basically see in the mainstream, even in some of the localized media. Oh, 60 were arrested.
Yeah.
It's 4 seconds of people yelling, and that's about the end of the story. Oh, they also did it through Twitter, the end. And I think it's a more complex story than that, whether you will have to find the media. Now the public citizen has to find the media, like he has to with all stories, that gives him the information he needs to sort of survive in a democratic society.
Two observations. Howard Zinn would be in very happy to see this going on. Too bad he's not with us anymore. But another thing is, I lost my thought. But go ahead, Gwen.
Well, I was going to ask you, Manny, are there any good resources? Can you give us some resources for the audience so they can, you know, to better identify with and find out and to use them as a frequent resource instead of waiting for, you know, the corporate sycophants actually that are not doing it anymore? I watched Chris Hayes today in the morning. There wasn't a word.
No kidding.
There was not a word.
How disappointing.
About it. And the only way that Rachel Maddow had any coverage of it was because Michael Moore was on and he mentioned it. He made a point.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about, you know, the only place that it's showing up on the lineup, it seems, is Keith Olbermann at Countdown. So, Manny, do you have any, can you give us any hot points that folks might be using, besides the Independent there in New York that you work for? I'm collecting these resources and putting them out over and over again. I know that OccupyWallStreet.org and hashtag OccupyWallStreet on Twitter. There's a live stream at anonymous-worldwide.blogspot.com. There's also another Ustream live stream. Is there anything else you have out there?
I would definitely recommend people follow Waging Nonviolence. I believe they're Waging Nonviolence on Twitter. Dustin Slaughter, I believe, is another very good Twitter sort of account on this. There's another gentleman, I believe, I can't recall his name right now, but I recommend you look up Our Wall Street, Take Wall Street, Occupy Wall Street, and OWS, OWS, with a hashtag in front of it, as in Occupy Wall Street. And the thing I would say to this, besides, don't forget we have the access to our own media networks. So the leftist blogs or the working class blogs or the progressive blogs, they're going to pay some attention, but they have a limited amount of resources both in time and who they can get out there. So in some ways, if you're following this movement and you'd like to know more news about it, find news and spread it, or make news and spread it. A lot of folks have been providing, it seems to change every day. I would also check underscore Truth Set Free. Code Pink has been providing really excellent stuff.
They've been there.
And there's quite a few out there. But, again, I urge people to not only find those, but encourage the websites that they read. Contact them. Hey, are you guys writing about this? What do you think of this? You know, get into the comments section. Write to the editors if that's what you want to see. You know? You know, and the other thing is, if you think this is newsworthy, now you have a chance to make news. Use Twitter. Use what you can. If you can't be there, if you'd like to make media, you can aggregate stuff. You can find the best links. Organize it in a meaningful fashion. Hey, these are the arrests. This is the arrest by chronological order. Here's some legal numbers. You know, so I think that's actually kind of been sort of the interesting part of the movement. The fact that it has been like they want their politics to sort of be self-sustaining. It has been sustainable, their effort to get the news out. And I guess that's what they're hoping to extend as well.
Outstanding effort. Very good.
What is the weather and the situation right now in New York, Manny, as far as them being comfortable enough to continue on and facing the challenges that are not just the police, which is an ever constant pressure, but the challenge of the weather and the environment around them.
Well, there's been a few sort of entrances of the weather into the storyline here. On Thursday night, it started getting pretty gray and it started pouring down, and there was sort of a worry about another situation with the tar. That's where some of the first arrests happened, when the folks occupying Liberty Plaza wanted to protect their live stream equipment, their laptops, etc. So that
yeah.
they needed to get information out, and it started really, really pouring down. They tried to put a tarp up, and a situation sort of erupted from that. And it was, you can check the video and see what you think of that situation.
Mm-hmm.
So what has happened is that actually they started a rain committee, you know, which I think was sort of how they handle everything.
Oh.
They have a democratic discussion, what they call the open mic, because they banned their megaphones. What they do is the person stands in the middle, and they say something. People repeat back. They start with mic check, and they go back and forth until there's sort of like a threshold, and people can hear each other pretty well. So they use the open mic to pass around information and to have their general assembly meetings. So they did that to create a rain committee, to do a sanitation committee, and so while I would say that it has poured on them, the last few days I've noticed that there hasn't been too much tension over the tarps, though I can't speak of that in terms of today in the last few hours. The last of it, again, I said, is about 40 minutes ago. What they were saying right now, it appears, from, and if you even check out the Twitter photos, that the numbers have actually increased from, like, say, Wednesday and Thursday afternoon.
That's great. So the important thing, the point I was trying to make a while ago before I forgot, this is not going to go away in spite of their efforts. It's going to continue to go for at least a couple more months, and that is fabulous. There will be a lot of people taking part, a lot more than now, and it's only going to grow, and that's the way it should be, because a lot of people are affected by this, and the media is going to have to take notice eventually.
And this is in an American sort of constitutional tradition, not to interrupt, but, you know, there were Hoovervilles, you know. There was Walkerville.
Oh, yeah.
General Assembly is a basic mechanic of basic democratic principles. We can gather and say, hold on, what we're doing now is not working, what the politicians are doing now is not working. And I guess that, in my opinion, that seems to be the biggest point of this exercise. It's almost like a dare. You know, stop us from executing our basic democratic principles, which is we can meet and discuss and try to plan for better. And if that's a threat to the government, or if that's a threat to the banks, or if that's a threat to the present political economic system, then we have to really consider the basics of our political economic system.
Exactly right. Exactly.
Well, that's
right.
What they're trying to. That's what they're trying to reveal. Is the system crashing before us? And if everyone, I don't know if everyone is aware, but I, you know, Adbusters began. It is also the part and parcel of the anonymous group's plan, their grand plan for bringing a paradigm shift across the planet. And as this has been going on, and I don't think a lot of people even who are involved up there at Liberty Plaza, I don't know if people are sufficiently aware that Anon is also going about other, you know, little paths that they have set for themselves to make the statement while this occupation is occurring. It would probably be interesting for you guys to know that, you know, in Paris, a group of peoples got together in solidarity with Occupy Wall Street.
Great.
Out in front of the embassy, about 30, 35 people out in front of the embassy, the United States Embassy in Paris. They were promptly arrested because they were so small, you know. And this is information that is not making the big news, but folks are doing it. There are groups in San Francisco and Los Angeles. Today they were supposed to be getting a group together in Phoenix. Manny, are you aware of any of the other?
Yep. And I would actually say one of the, you know, a lot of people, there's been some criticism and some of the very small leftist press that has actually covered it that, oh, it's almost too democratic, stuff doesn't get done. You know, they have these general assemblies where anybody can talk. They try to figure out everything through consensus, be as inclusive as possible. But one of the things that has served very well for the, one of the reasons that served very well as a mechanic for the activists is that there's sort of a fluidity of information that isn't there at almost, you know, what kind of rally is this? I can't imagine some other occupation having this much fluidity of information. Mm-hmm. So, for example, the other night, even when the Troy Davis rally started coming down, there was a Troy Davis rally up at 14th Street and sort of further up north from Liberty Plaza, a few miles north on Broadway, and they started coming downtown. You know, by the time they were halfway there, word had already spread to the camp that they were coming. So they met in this big, beautiful protest of at least 1,000 people. So just like that, they're pretty aware, and they've actually been encouraging, if you follow, you know, at Occupy Wall Street on Twitter, or there's a numerous blog spots now developed. They've actually been encouraging, and there are now, and you can see the pictures are sort of showing up online, and some of the indie blogs covering it. There are now sister protests either happening or on their way to happening in at least a dozen cities.
Great.
Yeah.
And once again, you know, who has to? I think folks have to demand the coverage they want and make consumer choices. Not to be like that, but if the mainstream media is dependent on your eyeball, which they then sell to an advertiser, and that's part of the dysfunction of our democracy, then deny them your eyes, deny them your attention, deny them your attention span, and find those other places in your spare 90 minutes when you can look for information that actually support, at least if there's going to be a bias, they should have a bias that has your best interest, as you know, 87% of us, 99% that they say down on Wall Street right now, sort of share a very common interest, which is getting the corporate influence out of democracy.
And I think it's important to make people remember, too, that in Jim Morrison's words of many years ago, they're still true today, they've got the guns, but we've got the numbers. And that is a fact, because we are all being oppressed by Wall Street. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And
you know,
they take our tax dollars.
I would say the situation has partially evolved, because now we make the guns, now we ship the guns, we're the guys on the truck that ship the guns, and then those folks, those nice gentlemen from the NYPD that are out there in the rain every day, they're also in the union, and they're also working class folks. And now we even man the guns. It's ridiculous.
Right.
We're doing all the work, and we're doing all the oppressing of ourselves. It's pretty funny.
Well, we're accessories to the crime, but we know what the crime is, and we've got to act against it. I guess that's the point, right?
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yep.
I think one of the amazing things is, despite the 96 arrests last night, there is the spirit of nonviolence and the spirit of every time they arrest, they sort of have a more and more peaceful and more democratic General Assembly. Now, that's my opinion from my experience, and I'm sure critics will have other views of it. But from my experience, perhaps to a fault, others have criticized for this. They have been increasingly open with the General Assemblies. They've supported, you know, Bradley Manning. They supported, they came out in support of Troy Davis. And in some ways, there's an irony. As you stand there on Liberty Street and Broadway, there's a tent city on your left with all these kids, because a lot of them are 16 to 29, the 55%, only 55% of those folks have jobs in America. So a lot of those young folks are there. And as you're standing on Liberty Street and Broadway, on the left you see this sort of protest city, the sleeping and ragged, and on the right you see this huge multi-billion dollar building being constructed where the World Trade Center used to be. And it's just something to behold. Multi-billion dollar buildings and just a bunch of scrappy folks, including now families who are out there saying, you know what, that this isn't working, and we're just going to
stop. Well, it's the stark contrast that's so gripping and so relevant, you know.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's one of the interesting things, if this protest would have happened someplace else in New York, perhaps, you know, in Queens or in Brooklyn or in Staten Island, I guarantee they wouldn't have had, you know, 120, 140 police officers, 8 paddy wagons. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
There was a very definite security
presence.
I was very mindful of the very expensive stuff that was around it. You know.
Well, they've got to be sure to protect the economic pigs, you know.
I hear what you're saying, Jack. Yeah, they're. I think they're there to intimidate,
aren't they,
Manny?
Well, see, that's the thing. Like, I think in some ways, you know, I was just trying to hang out on the line where the officers were, and inevitably, if they see you tweeting out now, they just sort of get kind of quiet and mum. But the most telling thing I heard, I believe it was a sergeant talking to, actually, it was a white shirt, as they call him there now. I'm not sure if it was a sergeant or a lieutenant, but he was telling some of the officers, listen, I don't want you following them at these marches. They need to be following you. Now, I think they've been a little spooked by the way the protesters are being portrayed to them by whatever parties there are. But mm-hmm. I think if folks saw the humanity and the sort of respect that the protesters and the occupiers are showing towards the police department, in spite of now 100-plus arrests in less than a week,
mm-hmm.
right? In spite of that, they've been very civil. I've seen them offer water, coffee, to sometimes some very cold responses. But, you know, it has sometimes become a very tense situation. You know, I can't, as an outside observer, I would have to say perhaps aggressive use. I mean, you can check for yourself on YouTube and throughout Twitter. Their use of the netting, the kettling, as they call it in Europe,
and then pile
that with pepper spray for folks that have said from the beginning that they're nonviolent, that they
mm-hmm.
intend to sort of just exercise one of the corest of core democratic principles, which is General Assembly.
Right.
I think much like the previous arrest, much like the previous sort of clampdown, that is probably just going to encourage the occupiers,
mm-hmm.
that's probably going to increase their numbers.
Well, good. Let's hope that happens because there's every reason for everybody in the country just about to take part and very much vocally and otherwise support this this endeavor. It's fabulous.
And I think it's one of those things. The kids, and I reference them as the kids because, you know, there is a younger element there. And,
right.
And folks, I'm sorry?
They're younger. That's right.
And folks have sort of tried to use that. Yeah, exactly. But folks just try to use it to say, oh, it's just a bunch of folks who don't want to be, you know, let's be honest about it, where the youth of America is or even the young professionals. You know, 16 to 29-year-olds, and these are census numbers that just came out, 16
mm-hmm.
to 29-year-olds have the highest unemployment since World War II. Only
55%
of us, only 55% of people between 16 and 29, only 55% of them have jobs. The rest of the economy is back to 1997 real wages.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, yeah, 50
it's heading
million,
in the wrong direction.
Yeah, and Japan once talked about a lost decade. We're approaching a lost generation. If we're living in 1997 standards and we've reached the first generation that has lower expectations of the future than the generation before, then we should not be surprised that so many of the people that come out to protest are the very young people who can't even get the lousy jobs that are left.
Right. Yeah, it's...
It's not just that. There are also a lot of these young people are very well aware that their opportunity to procreate and to create a new generation and to have a family is becoming something that's not going to be possible simply because they won't have a world to do it in. That's a big part of this.
Mm-hmm.
I think the very idea of, like, folks, you know, the classic, you know, I think somewhat, like, ridiculous notion that everybody is going to be able to live in the suburbs with 2.2 kids and two cars and a three-bedroom house, that is something that there are not even illusions or delusions about in the crowd that is currently occupying Wall Street.
Right.
And I think that's at the core element of it. One of the things they haven't shown sort of in the mainstream media of coverage is that there are a lot of folks with jobs who are stopping by on lunch, before work, after work,
mm-hmm.
you know, and for some reason, they're not being portrayed as much. We just see the folks that have been there every day. Well,
yeah, right.
Folks stopping in to bring them water, support. They, I believe within a week, they raised about $8,000 just online from supporters. for food, medical care. They set up a little medical station. There's even a child care area. I mean, you know, these kids, as they're quote unquote calling them, if they are kids, they have a reason to be upset.
Right. Right.
They are heavily indebted. I spoke to numerous folks. I'm thinking right now, off the top of my head, four in the last 2 days had some ridiculous amount of debt, and one of them told me
student
she had
loans and everything.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, one of them told me she had about $12,000 for an associate's degree at one of these privatized colleges because all the community colleges in her neighborhood were gone.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that when folks ask, in my opinion, when folks ask why aren't there more specifics to their demands, well, perhaps this is in some form of recognition, not just of democracy, but the complexity of the problems now faced by the folks that have to face them for the next 60 years.
Right,
you know?
Right. Well, you know, the people on Wall Street had better wake up and smell the coffee, because I'll tell you what, it's getting to the point where the capitalist system is not working. It's just not working. It hasn't worked for the last 4 or 5 years, even, and it doesn't look like it's going to work in the next few years either. It's getting to the point where the only way you're going to have capitalism in this country is at the end of a gun, and that's not the way it's supposed to be. This is ridiculous.
Well, when you talk about product, and survival and paying the price for living and surviving in this country right now, there is a very pointed weapon at you. It's called money.
Yeah.
And that money is being used to manipulate for the corporations. I mean, we're becoming a serfdom. People, the people who are going to survive with a little more are the people who are actually making for themselves, you know, entrepreneurial. I don't know how else, because the industry.
They still need a market to sell to, though, and if nobody has any money, what the hell good is that then? You know, it's rapidly becoming a very untenable situation, and Wall Street has got to get a clue and wake up and start its own voluntary redistribution of income in one way or another if they don't want the government to get involved. If that's what they don't want, then they had better do it themselves and be responsible about it.
But the thing is, they own the government.
That's a sad thing.
Well, I mean, I've been on your show before, and one of the things you've always paid a great amount of attention to is, well, look at all the folks who are sponsoring them. You know, there's a lot of corporate money, there's a lot of big industry money in both parties, you know, and it's sort of like, do you want it bad or do you want it really worse? It feels like to a lot of the folks that are there on Wall Street right now, and whoever pays the piper gets to sort of decide the dance. Do you understand what I'm saying here? So Wall Street is not afraid to call its chips in, and furthermore, they're not afraid to sort of call in their chips in our ignorance. A lot of folks don't understand how big the securities market is or what the securities market is. So when they say, if the securities market fails, Armageddon is coming to America, everything will collapse, and yada blah blah. Well, they're sort of preying on our lack of information or our inability to understand the very economic system we depend on.
Mm-hmm.
So part of media is, again, just something interchanged between people. A part of media is, I think, people sort of getting the information and sort of spreading it to other folks. If the newspapers, if the mainstream channels won't educate us, then we have to go make media. And I would say that, you are very right in pointing, just like the kids on Wall Street, and I love calling them the kids because that seems to, like, upset some of the folks, because, oh, well, why would young people be upset in America? Well, have you looked around? You know?
Yeah.
Folks, folks on Wall Street are making a good point.
If you have to ask why, you'll never know. There's something wrong with that. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, there's something else about the country now, too. You know, they're asking a lot of basic questions that are sort of naughty to ask on television or naughty to ask in the mainstream press. Like, is it really healthy to survive on the 70% consumer economy? Should we really be this dependent on debt? Should we be allowing kids to be graduating at 22 with over $100,000 in debt.
Yeah, it's outrageous.
I'm sorry.
It is outrageous.
It has got that. I want to know, Manny, would you like to take a few questions and open this discussion out a little wider? We got people chomping at the bit here to get in and ask some questions.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Numbers here. I know one number is, I think, just listening to the show. I tried to let them in last night, and they didn't come in. But I'm going to open up the mic to the area code is 661. The number is 205-1278. Who am I speaking with?
It's Dusty.
Hi.
Manny, I was curious, what happens at night? Because I've been watching Livestream.com's Global Revolution channel, and at night they always cut to a lot of the other global revolutions. Like right now they're showing Athens, Greece, which is interesting, but I'm primarily worried about, you know, our guys in New York City. So what do you guys do at night? You can't camp out there, can you?
What's happened is that I believe it's public land or being used for private use, or it's, yeah, private land for public use, which is a very,
but they
thing,
have
very
laws.
Strange.
They have laws. I read that they won't let any camping happen there.
Yeah. So in terms of tents, you can't have a tent. So even in the rain, a lot of folks have set up sort of bedding like you would for camping, and then a sleeping bag on top of it.
And as long as they're not sleeping, they don't bust their balls, right?
Well, there's a law in New York, right? There's a law in New York, and I believe there's a few origins for it. But basically, sleeping on the street is protected as long as they're not taking up more than half the sidewalk. And in fact, much like this protest is being ignored, there was a huge Bloombergville protest, like there was a Walkerville protest, where they just basically slept out in City Hall. And, you know, they were generally ignored by the media, but they took advantage of this law that says, and, you know, you have to think about why, we should all think about why, you know, in our present economic system, big cities need to have laws that allow for people to be sleeping on the streets because maybe it just happened.
Well, I compare this to the Wisconsin State protests, and it's a lot like that in a lot of regards.
Yeah.
But and they could sleep in there legally, and they did it. So, you know, I was just concerned that they had to like close up shop after a certain hour, and everybody go home, and then show up back up in the in the morning. But if they're holding strong and they can stay there through a technicality, that's great. I just wish Livestream, you know, if nothing's going on, Livestream either loses the feed or they go to, because like right now there's a, in Greece there's a, they've taken over a bank or something like that, which is interesting. I mean, it's great, but I really, you know, I want to know what's going on in New York City. So
right.
I've actually put Livestream's constant feed up on my blog as a widget,
that's
so that if anybody goes there, they can watch it.
It's actually up on roundtree7.com at the group blog also. We have someone else on the line from it's the New York. Yeah, oh, you're
just
welcome. I'm not cutting you off. I'm just introducing a new caller here. Area code 212, which I always recognize as New York. Go ahead, caller.
I think that must be me.
It must be you.
It must be me. I've never done this before, but what my question for Manny is, I heard somewhere today that the folks down there need diapers and diaper wipes and medicine and all of that, and is it better to come down with stuff, and if so, where do you go, or is it better to send money through a donation site?
First off, I would say try to follow the, if you're going to follow even the news of this, try to follow the ones that have been original, because I know there's been at least one fake site that was developed to just sort of say, oh, support us, and it's not anything affiliated with Occupy Wall Street. I forgot which one it is, but I know it's one of the .net ones. So if you're going to provide, if you'd like to sort of help, I think the super optimal thing is to come down and, you know, baby wipes are really good because a lot of folks, you know, there's not a great way to shower out there unless it rains. And even stuff like disinfectant and even like a clean pair, a clean shirt or stuff like that. One, because you'll know it gets there to somebody who needs it. And secondly, because honestly, one of the things that's kept these folks going is the fact that other folks, whether working or on lunch or something, have stopped in to buy them a bagel, get them a coffee, wish them luck.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, double bonus points for you as an activist if you can make it down there, you know?
For us on the left coast, though, Occupy Wall Street's website tells you who to give money to. That's going to go straight to you guys, correct?
I'm on the left coast. I'm not exactly sure who that goes to, and I don't want to speak for them to be completely
well,
honest.
I just got off the live stream feed before the show here went live, and listened to three different people with from the rewatch this morning with Chris Hedges, which I'm going to play tomorrow. But basically, they asked for, instead of money, to send things, items, and they mentioned.
Okay.
They mentioned the baby wipes. They also mentioned bottles of water. Too bad we can't do glass. Bottles of water and apples. And also, if you have pens and paper, or you can just get a hold of me afterwards on any one of my sites or online or call, they have a place that you can take it to, Tricia. It's the Up Store. Which is on Fulton Street.
Okay.
It's at 118A Fulton Street, number 205. You can take anything there and tell them this is for Occupy Wall Street. And if you want to, because some people do not want to go over to Liberty Plaza, you can go over to Liberty Plaza, and apparently the General Assembly area and the kitchen area, there's always somebody there who is willing to take responsibility for...
Okay, good, because I've seen the kitchen area on the live feed, and so, like, I know kind of where I'm headed, but, you know, when you don't go down there, or it's not your... I mean, sometimes it's hard to know where you're going, and... carrying things and all that, and it's easy to get lost. So I think everybody needs to know exactly where to go, and I know they have general meetings every now and then, and so that's the next question. Is it better to arrange your schedule to arrive at one of those times, or is it always good no matter when?
I think it's always good no matter when, and if you're trying to get a hold of their schedule, there's something more concrete on their website. And they have something constantly developing on site, actually, at Liberty Plaza. They usually keep this big cardboard sign called Today's Schedule, and folks are constantly adding to it. I think they're about to have a second General Assembly meeting at 7 p.m. I'm not exactly sure about that one, though.
And live stream is up again, so they're showing everything live right now on the live stream
awesome.
Global Revolution.
That's wonderful to know. I opened another microphone up, and I believe this is Brian Stenton. Brian, are you going to speak with us? Hi. Do you have something to ask Manny or to discuss about the Wall Street? I bet you.
Well, yeah. I mean, it looks like mainstream media, which I mean, definitely doesn't want. I mean, mainstream media is owned by large publicly traded corporations that all trade on the New York Stock Exchange. It's being protested, and the system is not used to having people protest against the system itself. So it looks like they learned lessons from what happened in Egypt. I mean, there was continuous television coverage of the uprising in Egypt by networks such as Al Jazeera, even though it was sort of marginalized or attempted to marginalize it by Egyptian state TV. And the more Al Jazeera promoted it, or covered it, I should say, the more it helped it build momentum. So
yes, well,
they
we
want
get
to,
that.
They want
their,
to, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, that, we get that. That's what they're doing. They're blacking out coverage.
It out.
It's up to us. Mm-hmm. To provide coverage so that there is.
I mean, I guess they're hoping that what appears in the social media is marginalized, and well, those are the tin hat wearer conspiracy theory types. That's probably their hope. You know, again, it depends on us.
I would like to say that if the mainstream media covers it, they're bashing it. And I've got a Google alert that tells me about it, and I get all the, you know, the New York Times did a big piece on it, and all they did was bash it. The Guardian UK actually has a really good op-ed up about it today, and that's a corporate media as far as I'm concerned, although it's over in Europe, and it's a lot more people-friendly. So they have a really big piece up today over at the Guardian in the UK about the Wall Street occupation, which really made me happy to see that. But we have a lot of outlets here.
The corporate elite actually were pretty scared about it. I mean, they saw it move from country to country. I mean, you heard Mayor Bloomberg. He actually talked a little bit too far, actually stating it could lead to a situation like in Egypt and get out of hand. I thought that was quite interesting, actually.
Yeah.
They're scared, actually. So they want it to be as marginalized as possible. It's up to people to let it keep on building and building. It looks like it is, anyway.
On Twitter, there's a lot of the corporate media journalists who are knocking it, and they actually said the only people covering it are the liberal media, and I got into a little bit of a Twitter bitch with him about it,
right.
And others joined in, and I said, first of all, don't label it as the liberal media. I said it's the alternative media.
Right.
I said there's the corporate media and there's the alternative media. And people actually joined in and agreed with me and said, yeah, you're right. They marginalize it when they call it the liberal media. And he kind of drew back his little. And he reports for the New York Times. I'm not going to give his name, but
who's the alternative media that you're speaking about that is covering this? I only know
Democracy Now, Common Dreams, the Real News Network, Reader Supported News.
Good.
The Independent.
I'm sure the Young Turks probably.
Howry Boogie. Yeah. There's a whole bunch of them. Yeah. That's the alternative media to me.
That's what I'm saying here.
Well,
Brian, Brian, excuse me.
Yes.
One moment, everybody. Peace. Dusty, once again, please name all of those resources, please, dear. Please.
Democracy Now!, Common Dreams, the Real News Network, Reader Supported News, the local New York level, the Gothamist, Bowery Boogie, and, of course, the Independent. HuffPo, which I'm considering more and more corporate media, they're covering it on occasion. And then, of course, we've got Keith Overman, who's finally doing stuff. Chris Hayes' new show this morning, Up With Chris Hayes, had three small blurbs about it. So I think that was a good thing. And that's on MSNBC, so that's corporate media. So, you know, his show is devoted to a lot of things.
That.
I caught it because I actually taped it, so I DVR'd it, and I kind of was, when I would see a header go up about it, I would stop and listen to it. So he mentioned it three times this morning, very quickly, but he mentioned it, and that's corporate media that's on MSNBC. So there's a few liberal outlets of the corporate media that are covering it, but you can count them on three fingers. You know, the vast majority, like I said, is reader-supported news. The Real News Network, Common Dreams, did a great piece on how the corporate media is ignoring this and why, which I wrote about on my blog. So, and then, like I said, a lot of the independent bloggers, like Manny said, are starting to cover it. I have a huge widget on the top of my blog that has the live streams Global Revolution channel, so people, if they stop by, they can click it at any time and see what's going on, you know, live. Because live stream also needs money, too. You know, because they're really busting their ass to keep their guys there and report 24/7, I guess, evidently. Because I was concerned. I didn't know what was going on in the middle of the night. That's why I wanted to ask Manny, you know, are they having to leave or are they staying there? I'm glad, like, Wisconsin, they can stick it out and you know, a small force, you know, stays there and holds the property. So, you know, we do have media that's covering it.
We have a little bit of a, you know, definition bender going on in the chat room right now by one person, which I look at. He's saying alternative media is actually Fox, CNN, MSNBC. Well, he's saying that because it's cable. It's corporate media. It's not alternative.
Alternative media is
the media that, you know, drums its own info up.
I'm sorry. I just read the comment.
Fox,
that's what makes me mad is when I argued with the what's his name from the New York Times. I said, do not label it as the liberal media. It's the alternative media, and that's exactly
right.
what it is. And
right.
and I said, and you marginalize it when you call it the liberal media, because
mm-hmm.
even the right has their alternative media. Of course, I'm not going to name them by any chance,
no.
but you know the right does have their own alternative media, and that's what we have to refer to it as. It's the corporate media versus the alternative media. In my point of view, and so when we get the news out there, who the alternative media is that covers it, then they get our viewership, like Mandy said, and our eyes are going to them. They're not going to the New York Times and the Washington Post or any of those other, the LA Times, you know, none of those corporate media places are going to get our eyeballs. We need to focus our eyeballs on the alternative online media.
It's a very exciting development. And it will not be marginalized. It's growing, as a matter of fact.
Just like
Wisconsin. It will continue to grow.
Our society is very unique, unlike others, where the government occasionally has to use force to coerce the people to get in line. And here the media does such a terrific job of controlling the bulk of the population.
The corporate media does the job for them at no cost.
Excellent job.
You know?
If a dictator looked at our media system, his mouth would water in desire. I mean, no doubt about it.
Little by little, that's changing.
So the thing is,
if there comes a point
where the government does have to start using coercion, say bring out the National Guard, I would say at that point the government is basically lost.
This is sort of one of the complexities of the current occupation. This isn't an anti-government per se protest. This is an anti-corporate government protest.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
This is quite specifically, if there's one unifying sort of theme here, it's that we're here in the lap, in the shadow of power to say, you guys need to get your hands out of my democracy. And you'll see that we'll do a lot better, from the wars to the health care, to the fact that we don't cover our older people, the fact that we don't take care of our younger people, we are making cuts to schools, or we're giving money away to the tune of trillions to Wall Street bankers who are probably just going to lose that money again. So I think the core element in some ways has been not anti-government, although, I think anybody there would tell you there are such a wide variety of voices. I think the main tone of even all of the communiques so far has been, get your corporatocracy out of my freedom.
Right.
Yay.
Well, we want real democracy, and that means economic democracy. No more of this oppression. No more of this heavy-handed nonsense we've been exposed to.
Well, I mean,
I just wonder why
this isn't just an emotive thing these folks are doing. You know, we have one of the widest gaps we've ever had between rich and poor. It's just concrete. It's in the numbers. We have like 45% of our folks between 16 and 29 don't have a job. We're looking at a very unhappy generation with very unhappy prospects for it. Mm-hmm. And then the folks ahead of them who were promised that if they paid into Social Security, into Medicare, and so all these protections for the banks, that they would be protected themselves if calamity came financially. And now they're also noticing that despite 35-year promises, their Social Security, their Medicaid, and even basic infrastructure gains are being lost.
Mm-hmm.
And I can testify to that because I'm on Social Security, and we haven't had a COLA raise, and we're going on the third year now. And with prices of everything going through the roof, my husband and I are having to really struggle to try to make ends meet. That when Obama's first thing was, well, we're cutting off the COLA, and you know, and that's what he did. He cut it off. So we're saying it's the same money that we were getting from them almost 3 years ago now, and it's ridiculous. He's hurting the elderly and the poor. And the disabled, yeah,
well,
which is what
there's
I am.
There's a good reason
but
for that,
the
actually.
The point is that there's energy and medication and health care has gone up. It has not gone down. And the health care bill that we got actually just gave us an opportunity to pay a different insurer. We have no benefits going on, especially for the elderly there. And the elderly, I'm in my state, and I think, you know, Brian Stetton is on the line. Brian is an organizer and the head of different Democratic. Come on, Brian, tell him what you do.
Progressive Democrats of America? Yes, I had the Progressive Democrats of America chapter for Broward County.
Demographics here for the state of Florida that is going to tell you our elderly are in the middle class, the people my age and Jack's age and Dusty's age who should be getting the, you know, kudos of payment or paychecks for, you know, service for how many years are splat on their ass in this state right now. Right, Brian?
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, basically, what's fascinating is the core rate of inflation has been ridiculously small. I think it's like below 1.5%. So arguments for core inflation going up, which the rich keep on pushing, you know, they don't want the Federal Reserve.
But we know otherwise.
Money. Yeah. I know. Let me put it. It's basically the hedge funds, which have been making money in other markets, have been dumping money into oil and agricultural commodity futures, causing those prices to go through the roof, which those are the volatile prices that are not considered part of core inflation.
Right.
So, I mean, they're sort of making money off of it every single way by causing the products to go up as well as by making money off the contracts itself, by sheer speculation. So it's, it's ridiculous. And it's only a small handful of people that are skimming the system like that. We're talking about 400 billionaires, super rich, that are worth more than 150 million on the bottom of our
society. That's
wrong.
So
it's kind of gone out of control really over the last decade. If you go further back, it started after, you know, the 60s and went on from there. During the 50s and 60s, we had great economic growth, and everybody prospered from it.
Right.
But then the Reagan era and they started changing the corporate rules of governance.
Exactly
right.
Here
we are.
They pay themselves.
Occupy Wall Street. Manny, tell me, share with the audience what the overall pervasive politic is at, the wonderfully nuanced one demand poetry of Anonymous just has to be mentioned here.
I think so. I think you've just to Brian Stenton's point here, he made an excellent point, I think, about how few people it takes skimming on top to rip so many millions of people off. I think the overarching political view is sort of something that's gone away from either, you know, traditional sort of Democrat or Republican, which just it seems more and more on the same camp, but it seems a wider general concern for everyone, even if you don't agree with me. And that's why, if you see, they call it the demand of the 99%, the communique of the 99%. I would say that their overall politics involve economic justice, social justice, and definitely folks paying back into the economy, especially the richest folks, the stuff they've been pulling out for over 25, 30 years of Reaganomics and Reaganomics Plus under W. Bush.
Yes.
The overall political picture is very much based on, it might seem overly idealistic, but from what I'm hearing from the people I've spoke to, it's something very concerned about the general population, for everyone to have as much access as possible to education, jobs, basic human needs, and to have a system that treats, again, whether politically or culturally or economically, as many of its members or 100% of its members fairly and in an equitable and reciprocal fashion.
I agree.
With that, I do have to get back in about 1 minute. I'm still on deadline, actually. I have a few things I have to finish writing up for tomorrow.
Manny,
but
thank you so very much for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me on.
Thank you. I hope you'll come back as long as we're doing this, the drum line.
I absolutely appreciate it. I wanted to thank you folks for having me on, especially for having such a lively discussion. A democracy is not based on a bunch of different rich people's versions of what just happened. It's based on your analysis and your knowledge and our willingness to sort of occupy public responsibilities. So whatever the mainstream media is not giving you, I think everyone that is following this has done a wonderful job of giving each other the great media coverage they need. So thank you for having me on, and really, really, a lot of solidarity and strength to you folks, and thank you so much for all the support for independent media in general, and especially for those folks down on Wall Street.
You're most welcome, and please come back with us, Manny. We need the voices. We need to keep the steady boycott going and the presence up. So come back and speak with us, okay?
Absolutely. Solidarity, power to the people. I'll talk to you folks soon.
Okay. Good evening. We have quite a crowd in here, and the discussion can go on. I've got 40 more minutes of airtime left. I do want to bring, I know Dusty's on, I know Brian's on, and I know Pete, I know Trisha's on. I'm also
I'd like to make a quick point, if it's okay.
One moment. I'm bringing
okay.
The microphone up on the area code is 213, and the number is 769-4268. Hello, caller, can you hear us?
Connecticut.
Yeah, I guess if it's me, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think it is you. Who is you?
Okay, I'm calling via Skype. This is flyover territory. I just got a couple of questions that have been nagging at me. And
sure.
It was something that I alluded to earlier in the chat. When Manny was talking about voluntary or involuntary redistribution by Wall Street. And this is where I'm trying to get this into my head. Why would they voluntarily redistribute to someone who hasn't invested at all?
So,
in other words, they haven't ponied anything up.
Yeah, what you're saying is that it. Would you be saying then that it's the government's capacity to take care of these people, or would you say that via entitlement programs? Or
no, I don't mean that at all. No. You misunderstand.
Okay.
You misunderstand. Okay. No. What I mean is individual responsibility, last time I checked. And that means individual choice. That means if they chose to put money in or were able to put money in yet didn't, in other words, they had the means to be able to, they just decided not to, right?
I
have an answer
is,
to that. I mean,
well,
you know,
well,
if you put money
guys,
into a business...
Take five, just a second. We were discussing
okay.
the reason
I'm
not that...
Not talking about
that,
folks that are under poverty. That's what I'm trying to clarify first. I'm talking about those that would be considered literally the middle class is what I mean.
Yeah,
okay?
it...
In other words,
I,
that means
I
to be able to go ahead and stock and that sort of thing.
So are you saying that the upper rich deserve their... ongoing tax breaks and subsidies
and
bailouts
no.
and so forth. And we currently have socialism for the wealthy.
And I was basically laying out the parameters. In other words, those in the middle class who can afford to, say, have an emergency fund or set aside money or make investments, okay, that can afford it, yet choose
right.
not to, would they be part of this windfall of redistribution? Because we already know redistribution is going to go to anybody who's below, say, a family of four that makes less than $26,400 a year, because that's the poverty line for them. Okay? I'm talking about those that are well above that, and I'm not talking at the $250,000 cap that the president was talking about. Want to talk about those that were called...
Well, first of all, I mean, the middle class is sort of barely hanging on. So the idea of the middle class has the money to invest in American businesses and is sort of holding back doesn't make any sense to me. You know, that's certainly not the case.
I think he's talking about the top 2%.
Their incomes have been stagnant for the last 4 decades. Now, if you go to the top 2%, I mean, if you invest in a business in this country, you depend on our infrastructure and the roads and so forth to transport goods into and out of that business. You depend on our police to protect that business. And you're depending on the infrastructure that's supposed to be paid for by taxes. So darn right you should pay for your fair share. I don't see that as some type of horrible redistribution.
Well, there isn't. And there's millionaires and billionaires who have signed pledges saying that they want their taxes raised, that they believe that that they are supposed to support the system at this point when it's down and out. And there have been billionaires who signed the pledge that have said, I want my taxes raised. Warren Buffett has said it. That's why the whole thing is called the Damn Buffett Plan. George Soros supports a lot of these different outlets for our information, which I thank George Soros every day for that. What pisses me off is the professional left, groups like MoveOn.org, are totally ignoring what's going on in Wall Street, and they have the money to help these guys, and they're sitting on their friggin' hands, and they're sitting on their cash, and Wall Street, and MoveOn.org is famous for that, because I worked for them during the Bush administration, and I can tell you right now, they never supported one friggin' protest, but they would never gave me a dime, but I spent a lot of hours and a lot of my personal cash on their stupid little causes, like throwing a party in front of my representative's office to present him with a check for all the lobbying money he took. That doesn't do shit. It got a little bit of press in the evening news locally, but they don't do anything on a national scale as far as supporting
MoveOn.org is not very far left. I mean, MoveOn.org.
No, they're not, but they try to portray themselves. They try to portray themselves as professional left. They really do.
They're center left at best. They're center left.
No, I know. And Van Jones is one of the people who has been knocking, in a lot of respects, to Occupy Wall Street. There's other people that are part of the professional left. I won't name names. One of the guys works for Media Matters, and he said, oh, it's a disorganized mess, and it's a bunch of hippies. And I get all this crap off Twitter, and that's when it pisses me off. It's like, look, you're part of the professional left, and all you're doing is bashing what's going on in New York. You know, why don't you shut your mouth, give them some money, and give them some help?
Well, I wouldn't call them professional left, first of all.
Well, I do, because they're professional because they raise money off of us. Dovetailing in here,
the activist left or the activist community seems to be a whole lot different than the talking
the real left and
bullshit.
Yeah, the real left.
That is going, the real left. So
the real
that's why I call it the professional left, because they're not the real left. They're professional left that raises money off of key core issues, and they suck people in to give them money.
I agree with you.
And that's why I call them the professional left.
Well,
they're just like the damn Tea Party.
That's why Christopher Hedges bashed the liberal institutions as sort of playing a game with the wealthy, of talking giving a very liberal rhetoric, but when it comes time to act, they often cave in.
To put their money where their mouth is, they hold on to it. They don't give it out.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
We have
which is another reason, by the way, and I know you don't agree with me on this one, but I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, go ahead. If I don't agree, I got to know what that's about.
Well, I mean, I believe that no fundamental change can come from the voting booth at all. And it's basically a good cop versus bad cop working for the same team. So my attitude regarding the voting booth and just the voting booth is you don't want to see the bad cops get in there because they are far worse.
You listen to the
GOP debates and you hear the rhetoric that comes from their mouths, and I mean they're supporting capital punishment, and they're supporting rampant debt. torture.
Either way,
you know, it's
pretty
horrible.
Soon, you know, y'all are going to have me asking Michael Hugh to get on that phone and come in here and bail me out now. The other part about this is that flyover territory, this gentleman came on, and he, and you're still with us, aren't you, Mr. Flyover?
Yeah, I am.
Hello.
My question still wasn't answered because the core of my question.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Your question wasn't really addressed. I think we had a problem.
I thought I addressed part of it.
Well, no, my question had to do with personal choice.
Yeah.
My question
was personal choice on the part of the elite.
In other words,
no, I don't expect them to voluntarily do a thing.
No, I wasn't done with what I was saying, but apparently what I had to say and ask isn't important. So,
well, restate it, please.
Actually,
I thought I addressed it. Restate.
I didn't want that. What I was simply pointing out was, here's another one. Okay, let me go from another angle.
Yeah.
It's okay to go ahead and occupy Wall Street and occupy the State House in Wisconsin, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So by that logic, it's okay to occupy Kabul and Bagram and Baghdad, right?
Correct.
Exactly.
No,
they can get it done. They can get it done, but they can't do it over there.
This is bad, right?
I'm lost.
Yeah, I know. You just went from grassroots movement to military occupation in another country. I don't see that.
I don't see
it as similar at all.
Well, they're not similar. I don't think they're similar.
No, they're peaceful protesters. What does that have to do with military occupation? I don't get it. That's insane.
No, it's Weather Underground, you know, Chicago Sick, the whole nine yards type selectivism. And I understand it. That's a spectrum.
I think we have a basic division of different
definition.
And idealism or value here or ethic. Activism and hacktivism, because the hacktivism is what has created Occupy Wall Street. There's a difference, a huge difference between activists within a culture and society than there is military intrusion by one country into another. I think there's a large difference between the two.
Yeah, I don't know how one can possibly compare the two. I mean, it's so strange.
Because what's happening over in Europe and the Middle East is being controlled by the military. They go, when those guys get too big and too powerful, they go in and they shut it down. Our military hasn't done that yet in the United States. We're still, our Occupy Wall Street people are still being allowed to hang there and get their word out. Whereas if things get too big in the Middle East, the state-sponsored military comes in and shuts them down or shoots them down or however you want to look at it. So it's really hard to compare them. They're apples and oranges as far as I'm concerned.
Well, it's actually, in the case of those, more like apples and mangoes.
Well, the point
is, if you
want
to use the extreme of it, because,
I think you'll be very
surprised
at what can happen. Surprised at what can happen as far as, I think you'll be surprised at what can happen as far as a paramilitary presence there that is already there. Homeland Security began to surround these people and occupy Wall Street today at Liberty Plaza.
That's a very important point.
And a biohazmat unit was dispatched. A biohazmat unit was dispatched. I'm an aromatherapist. I know what that means. It means that they could be getting ready to use gas on these people.
Exactly.
This is military. Okay, so there is a military presence.
To have to clean up all, and they don't want to have a bunch of pee bottles spilled.
Well, it's coming on Monday morning, and Wall Street is shut down on the weekend.
That's a bad idea, because that's going to get you busted. Just like laying down and sleeping too long, according to the New York vagrancy laws, is going to get you busted. You gotta set,
well, Manny said they're getting around that. Manny said they're getting around the vagrancy laws, that they're finding a way around that, and they're staying there all night. That's one of the questions I asked him at the beginning.
You have to be up at some point. You have to be down at some point. The homeless of New York already learned that a long time ago.
Of course.
That's how you get
course.
Around the vagrancy. That's, you buy a kitchen timer, and the kitchen timer is loud as all get out. I'm not talking about the ding type. I'm talking about the ones that have that electronic shrill alarm.
Ooh, yeah.
That's they're getting around the vagrancy law in that case, except for those who are heavy sleepers, and they're probably going to end up still being in that position.
I'm not,
you know,
are you objecting to the protests in some way? I'm not sure what your main point is.
I'm neither for nor against it.
On Twitter, a lot of the people on the left are bashing it, saying that it's not organized and that it's
too many issues. Well, are you saying
many,
that you don't see
issues.
A
problem? He's trying to answer.
I never said that. I never said that. I said I'm neutral in the whole thing.
Okay.
But then,
what do you see as a solution if you don't believe a big mass movement is a good idea? What do you see as a solution?
Well, I see what the basic core is. The core is this is nothing more than one big showdown that basically started with Bradley Manning and all the rest with the whole WikiLeaks thing because Anonymous got shown up. They don't like being shown up. They're kind of like LBJ. They don't like being second. They threw the first set of shots over the bow when they decided to start going after Scientology 3 years
okay.
ago. But
this isn't about Anonymous. I mean, Anonymous is playing a role in helping to promote a type of activism, but the actual problem isn't Anonymous being shown up or anything like that. This isn't an ego thing. There is an actual problem, right?
There isn't an ego with Anonymous. They simply aren't organized that way. But what Brian's saying is quite true.
You're going to characterize this as activists getting upset and trying to make noise. And, I mean, it's really people upset with the fact that our country is run by corporations, ultimately, that we're trapped in a plutocracy that has sort of a bare width of democracy. We can change the odor of the democracy, but we can't change the system, you know, which is continually working against us, which controls us via the media, by either manufacturing enemies internally or externally, and by creating racial hatreds and various prejudices, by deflecting us from the real problem, or from the financial system, which we're in long ago. Another way to control the population is to put us in debt. So if we can't, you know, obviously more people, if you go back to the Reagan era when layoffs started in earnest and unions were getting destroyed then, you wanted to buy a car, it had to be financed. These days, you want to graduate from college, you have a huge bill to pay. You're pretty much caught up in the system. You know, and those are things that have to change.
Great point. Great point.
Yeah.
We have another caller on the line who's coming on, I think, through Skype. It's an unknown caller. Caller, are you there? I just want to make sure that the caller is there.
I am there, and I'm coming from the unknown.
Okay.
But yeah,
hello, Mr. Unknown. Please make yourself well known in the conversation.
Howdy, everybody. My name is Zach, and I'm calling on Skype from Southern California.
Hey, Zach. Nice to hear you. Flyover territory was trying to make a point.
I think one particular point that this flyover, the last caller, was trying to make was he didn't particularly agree with occupying something that's not yours. So I think that's the logic he was using to equate the military, the wars in the Middle East with this so-called occupation of Wall Street. That sort of makes sense, but, I mean, it is kind of fundamentally different. Anyway, my personal opinion is one thing that these folks are protesting, whether they know or not, is this massive corporatism, which is literally destroying our economy.
That's their stated purpose, Zach. That's why they
Absolutely.
Are there. They're there.
Yeah. Just look
now,
at the
signs.
They talk about targeted tax loopholes for people like GE and the like.
Yeah, exactly. Now that right cell, that right there in itself, yeah, it's nothing about it's not
in
the
same
market,
for Buffett's in,
not,
in
our
the same
interaction.
For Buffett's
that
ultimate.
Itself is corporatism, and that is corruption. That is corporations who own politicians who are making all these laws to subsidize them. I think it needs to stop there. We cannot be subsidizing these corporations because that just puts one above the other, and it puts them in this position where they're the ones making all the money, kicking everybody else out of industry, and then basically holding us, the consumers, hostage and doing what they want.
And that's because of that.
I want to put to rest something right now, the idea that the people that are protesting may or may not know what they're protesting about, and they're a bit naive and so forth. One of their key chants is human need, not corporate greed.
That pretty much tells it all. That's their key chant. Yeah.
I mean, that
Thank
sort of
you.
Says they know what they're protesting. You know,
absolutely, and I think another solution to helping restore the economy, other than ending these stupid corporate subsidies, which basically is government prejudice against you and I. I mean, we're all business people. How come we're are not getting all these great subsidies? It's just ridiculous. Another thing we really do need to bring about and end this monstrosity that is called the Federal Reserve System, because they are absolutely, their hands are so filled with blood. They have literally inflated our dollar and made our hard-earned money worthless so that they could print all these dollars and fund all these stupid bailouts and subsidies.
That's a bit of a right-wing notion that's been kind of overblown. You have to bear in mind that the key players behind the Fed, most of the people that are employed by the Fed are people from the large banks, from Citibank, Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, and so forth.
Wait a minute. We don't own the Fed. The Fed has nothing to do with American people.
But
it's called the Federal Reserve System, though.
It is. It's called the Federal Reserve.
It is owned by private banks. It is owned by private industry. You do know that,
yes.
Right? Are you guys reading
your
magazine?
It's not even a government institution.
Yeah.
It is a cartel.
The Federal Reserve was started
in 1913 by J.P. Morgan and John Rockefeller, and they had, you know, they had people in the federal government that they owned, that they bribed, and that is why this private cartel basically gets to control our money.
You're right.
I'm sorry, but
and,
I have a
but,
problem.
But they're undercover. I do too, and they,
well,
but they're undercover
if they had
by the
that,
name
they had
of a federal reserve
attorney,
system.
How is it that they end up having to go before congressional and senatorial subcommittees? Have to answer for what's going on, and they also have to have people that are basically nominated and therefore selected by elements in the government.
Excuse me, but did you see the SEC hearings and how they conducted those before Bernie Madoff was caught with his Ponzi scheme?
Absolutely.
I mean, are you seriously putting on the table that Congress and the Senate of this country in the last 20 years has done anything that hasn't been paid for by a big corporation to go whatever way they want it to? My eyes have been opened for me.
It's always been that way. I mean, the problem
was
big corporations and how much power they have. That's the bigger problem. More
but
so
the Fed's not
Fed
accountable
itself.
To Congress. They send you a quarterly report, and
I mean,
then
bear in mind,
we need to print more money.
If they're
not
accountable to Congress.
Yeah, I mean,
too many people are talking. One person at a time. I think it was Zach who started to say something. Zach or Flyover, one of you two was saying something. Please listen to one another and then speak. Okay.
I will. I'll yield this one to Flyover. Go ahead.
I was going to let you go.
I was just simply pointing out
if they're not even held accountable in any way, shape, or form, why in the world are they even having to show up at the long table in front of the phone?
Well, part of their charter is to be audited. Dusty can tell you.
Dusty, isn't it? It's the Kabuki Theater, isn't it? just like that little thing that went on at the end.
It's an illusion. It's totally an illusion to give the people let them think that the federal government is controlling the Federal Reserve, but we all know they're not.
Precisely.
What I think is awfully telling is that, you know, when you look at Democrats versus Republicans, they're both really business class parties.
And you see
the right wing actually bash the Fed. And so you have a bunch of millionaires that are not happy with the Fed. They're more concerned with the values of their own dollars. And so they don't want to see the Fed continuing to inject liquidity into the system. So it's hard to personalize or characterize the Fed as the problem. I mean, I know that's very popular among Ron Paul enthusiasts, but I don't consider that the main problem. It's a symptom. I mean, the Fed needs to be audited, for sure.
It's not
the main problem. It's part of the problem. Not really. And the idea of going back to a gold standard will somehow make things better, that's pure nonsense.
Here's why I'm actually a fan of the gold standard. And the reason is, if we have our dollars backed up by gold and we can only have so much expansion of the monetary supply, we cannot spend all these trillions of dollars on military adventures.
It's not even feasible. We cannot spend
all these trillions of dollars on corporate subsidies. The value of the dollar would be restored. Our wages would actually mean something. We would be able to have more economic power to vote with our dollars.
There is no white flag.
She's waving a white flag. In what world, gentlemen? We are talking about crisis on planet Earth. The environment is breaking. Are you going to wake up within the next couple of years and see pictures on your television of the Gulf of Mexico, just nothing but black gook, a gray mass of water? There's going to be so much radiation on the damn west side of this country. It's already spraying on to dusty shores over there. We are dying on this planet.
Because British Petroleum was also a federally subsidized corporation.
Hey,
while we're at it, why don't we just go ahead and bring up women's reproductive rights and all the other favorite sacred cows while we're on it.
Just going back to basic economics regarding gold, just for a moment, getting that issue off the table. The fact of the matter is that if you take all the gold supply in the entire world and add it together, it's far less than even a third of the value of our economy. So it's totally silly.
Which is why we can have additional standards.
Regarding the system itself,
it goes back to allowing the subsidies
and the socialization going to large corporations in the first place.
We've had socialism for the upper class for years.
And that's what's got to stop.
Look at the farming industry, gentlemen. Payment in kind from USDA.
That's paying corporate farms, okay, to not plant fields. Not family farms, corporate farms. If it's a corporate farm, they don't get to participate in pick. Here's another one for you.
GMO
the farming industry has been industrialized.
It's all corporate. Corporate farms means genetically engineered crops anymore anyway.
I'm talking about the Plainfield Group. A Plainfield Group is like out of central southern Indiana is a good example. The Plainfield Group is basically a corporate group that was put together by 18 family farms that had tracts of land that pretty much were interconnected across five counties. Okay, so they're a small corporation, but they're still a corporation that gets to participate in the PIC program, and that's what I'm specifically referring to. I'm not talking about Ciba Geigy. I'm not talking about Monsanto or Shell or any of the rest of that conspiracy theory favorite team. I'm not talking about that.
No, that's
I'm talking about
conspiracy theory.
Oh my God!
Well, no, you got church.
Oh,
you got small.
I live in the agriculture area of the United States, known as Kern County. It's in the San Joaquin Valley. Corporate farming is here to stay. When every farm I go by has got a huge water silo with the name Purina across it, it's quite obvious that that's owned by a corporation, and it's called Purina. And the entire valley is turned into one great big corporate ag outlet. And they help in California, in California at least. Those guys alone crafted our workers' compensation laws, thanks to Arnold. And which I'm very familiar with because I blew out my back 5 years ago, and I've been fighting workers' comp ever since. And he would come down here once a month, and they would write out how they wanted the laws to read, and or he went up there and got them changed. And they control everything in the San Joaquin Valley, and it's not just agriculture. They control them and Big Oil, the two biggest employers in the San Joaquin Valley, control everything that happens here on every issue there is. They control all of the politicians, and they control who even gets put up for election and reelection. And corporate ag is as big a threat to us as, you know, any other corporation and Wall Street. And a lot of people don't talk about it, so I'm glad that gentleman brought it up because corporate welfare is a big part of the whole corporate ag movement, and those guys hold as much power as the guys on Wall Street, and they give billions of dollars every year. So, you know, that's a great point, too, the corporate,
most agricultural profits come from corporate subsidies, the fact that we subsidize
exactly.
It cheaper for the
one
best and actually that's very damaging to other countries. So, for example, when you look at, say, people in Guatemala or Haiti, I mean, the farmers there have long been ruined and kept in poverty. They used to grow rice and beans for themselves and sell the rest for profit. They can't do that anymore. They can't compete with our cheap rice. You know,
no,
we destroyed
right.
their market.
Do you guys
know
anything about the problem they're having right now with just trying to institute permaculture in small places because of what's been done to the soil, because of corporate farming?
There's some instances where corporate farming actually pays off, like down in certain elements down in South America with the coffee industry. You know, some of those farmers ended up originally looking like Juan Valdez, and now that they're part of a corporatized, you know, element where they're all banding together to go ahead and have all of their crops and all of that done in a rotational fashion to where, number one, they're not tearing up, you know, their crop space.
I'm all for a co-op.
And
creating
but it's usually in the detriment to their own people. And that's the point.
Right.
You know, again, going back to Guatemala, I mean, here's a country where the GDP, their economy has been growing. Let me finish. Their economy has been growing year after year. The economy is growing. Their gross domestic product is growing. However, the rate of starvation keeps on growing, too. So, again, what they used to grow for themselves, they're not. And instead, they're shipping off cows to here, you know, for meat, or they're growing exotic fruits and vegetables for people here. They're not growing anything for themselves. So
that's
you
right.
have the rich elite in Guatemala, you know, making money with people here.
The permaculture
is
destroyed.
The average person there is going
and
hungry.
And people are being assassinated. Who are activists are being assassinated down there for bringing this up and saying we have to stop this in those countries.
Mm-hmm.
They are being assassinated by corporate assassins.
And
you
those corporations are
not.
This form of
capitalism,
called neoliberalism, is a total failure. And, you know, it's not some bizarre conspiracy theory. It's something you could read about in the business press. They laud about it all the time. The business press is very honest about it.
The one bastion of freedom is that there are still many independent farmers out there, even in Northern California. Now, there are growing fewer, but there are independent farmers, and these farmers are able to sell their products locally, sell their products across the United States. That is fantastic. They're making some money. But they cannot compete with these corporate farms as long as they are able to expand at this fast rate artificially, which is funded by subsidies. We need to end the subsidy.
I agree with that.
They buy out the little farmers. They buy them out,
and
they turn the farms into corporate farms.
That's true.
It's not addressing permaculture and the real needs of a community or the planet. You're talking about, you're arguing about money. Who cares?
That's true. Money talks,
man.
Money makes human beings do a lot of things.
Yeah, but that's true.
That's why people are in Wall Street right now. They're saying, fuck the money. Care about people. People, not green for corporations. That's the point.
Yeah.
The point is permaculture. Sustainability in communities. We have green, I'll bet you have around each one of you, green grocery markets that are little folks who bring in their little bits of crops every weekend or during season, during harvest.
And I utilize those.
Those things are fantastic. I love going to the farmer's markets every Wednesday in my town.
There is no such thing as a large publicly traded corporation that's successful without government help. And that's the
For example, let's take
Walmart. I mean, Walmart, a third of their employees cannot afford the company's own health insurance, so they end up getting Medicaid from the state. That's coming out of the taxpayers' money. So the taxpayers are subsidizing the cost of the help. In the Walmart stores, they force more money spent on the roads and the infrastructure around it by the local community, and so taxes go. I mean, basically, you have a subsidy going on there, and Walmart sort of turned itself into a corporate welfare queen. In the meantime, the CEO of Walmart's making $30,000 an hour. Or you take the oil and gas sector. We're subsidizing the cost of exploration, and it's the most profitable industry ever. So, you know,
and yet this morning,
that is this Federal Reserve, which prints that money artificially. That's where
well,
it
that's
all comes from.
That's not. That has nothing
money
to do with the Federal
talk.
Reserve. That has nothing to do with the Federal Reserve at all. That's Congress.
Okay.
And it's the Obama administration
is trying to fund green. They're trying to fund green companies, and the teabaggers are bitching about that. And when Chris Hayes this morning said, "Well, I don't hear you complaining about the subsidies that big oil are getting, and the car companies are getting." But you're bitching about the money that Obama is trying to give.
Who writes the subsidies in the law? Congress.
Well, of course. Well,
yeah,
and
I mean,
they get their marching orders from the lobbyists.
Congress is owned by corporate America. Because they can always have the money printed on demand. That's the problem. Where is the money being printed on demand? The Fed. You end the Fed, you end their ability to print money on demand and fund all this crap.
No, that doesn't make any sense at all. I always thought that was a very bad right-wing argument. That doesn't make any sense. I mean, I agree the
it
Fed
doesn't make sense
carefully
to you,
audited
brother.
And
it doesn't make sense to
solve,
you, but it makes sense to lots of people.
Yeah, of course, because it's been explained very poorly. I mean, if you don't enact the subsidies in the law in the first place, you know, one doesn't print money. Ultimately, we're either borrowing it or it's coming directly from the taxpayers. Period.
Yeah, if you don't
and
put subsidies in the law,
and that's
then
set by, and that's
don't
sent
funded,
by an annual,
you know, yeah,
and that's
so
set
if you
by
don't
an annual
crack,
budget.
Don't put crack yet, but people who are already on the drug are going to keep doing it, and Congress, as long as they have this drug called free money or easy money, this Federal Reserve, are going to keep doing it. They're not going to just do the right thing because they want to.
It's a Republican argument.
It's a very Republican argument.
Well, because
it's not a Republican
the House
argument,
of Representatives...
it's a constitutional argument.
Our Constitution is actually very flawed. I mean, when you come down to it, our Constitution is very flawed. Remember, one of the original framers of the Constitution was James Madison. James Madison insisted that one of the purposes of our government is to protect the wealthy, protect the opulent minority from the vast majority. which he effectively done by setting up Senate the way it is. I mean, our system is set up to protect the rich.
Protect the wealthy.
That's not a Federal Reserve issue.
Constitution.
Once again, it goes
doesn't
back
matter
to,
what he wanted. A lot of folks want to do a lot of things, but it's not in the Constitution. Funding trillions of dollars, all these subsidies, all these corporations. No, that's not what the federal government is supposed to do. The federal government is simply supposed to preserve law and order so that we, as individuals, can make this economy happen, can make our businesses.
Yeah, but if, you're,
and our
if you believe in fervently holding to the Constitution, one of the purposes of the Constitution is also to protect the rich.
Negative. The Constitution.
Yeah, I mean, that's very true. I mean, the framer of our Constitution was James Madison. He explicitly said that.
All right,
the
show me where
convention.
It says in the Constitution it's meant to protect the rich.
This is
by how we set up
into
the Senate.
Doesn't matter what the intention is.
You know, gentlemen, excuse me, but I think that's a whole other conversation other than basically what we're talking about, and that's corporate greed over people's need. And it's pretty obvious that corporate greed.
I mean, you could argue away that Medicare and Social Security is not constitutional, too. I mean, those type of arguments just simply don't make sense.
Well, they don't make sense. Social Security was never supposed to be a permanent program, all right? The New Deal brought it about as a temporary insurance program to help people get back on their feet.
It wasn't temporary?
But if you want to argue that it's unconstitutional, yeah, sure. I mean,
well,
yeah,
basically, it wasn't created as a temporary program. That's
no, it wasn't
incorrect.
Created as a temporary program at all.
It was institutionalized by Roosevelt's administration.
New Deal, by
efforts.
New Deal, yeah.
Well, yes,
and the New Deal was terrible economically, I got to say.
Oh, sure.
Okay,
we really suffered under the New Deal.
Social Security is keeping people alive, and you know what? It might need to be tweaked and it might need to be fixed. But if you're trying to say that Social Security should go away because it's not in the Constitution, that's bullshit. You got to find a way to make it work, and you got to tweak
Social
it.
Social Security does work. It's a worst
it
case.
It does work. It's keeping me alive.
The actuaries that study it, the actuaries. The actuarial analysis.
I paid into it for 40 years.
Yeah.
I paid into
it for
40 years.
The actuarial analysis is worst case scenario and may have some solvency problem in 30 years.
Exactly. Because they were taking money
And if that's a worst case scenario, it would be some simple tweaking that could easily correct that situation. Like raising the cap off of 106,000 to whatever, 250,000, for example, say. Then it's solved. It's not an issue. It's been turned into an issue. It's been turned into a huge talking point, great propaganda.
Well, just like our damn debt turned into
false.
A talking point. A debt we've carried since 1917. We've carried friggin' debt since 1917, and all of a sudden it's become the talking point of the Republican Party and the teabaggers and specifically. And you know, when you allow the media and the right to control the conversation, that's when all this crap starts getting thrown out there, and people get distracted by it. So, you know, it once again goes back to the corporate media and how they control the conversation, and they do this for free, and the federal government loves that. The federal government loves it.
Got to cut in here a moment, guys. I think I have one of the drum line on air with us right now. Is that you, Diane?
I'm going to take off.
Okay, thank you, Brian, for being with us tonight. Really appreciate your input.
Thank you for having me. I deeply appreciate you having me on. Sincerely do.
Thank you, Brian.
Sincerely do. And I'm a step closer to having my own blog. So I'll tell you more about that in the future.
Thank you, Brian. The conversation, of course, this evening has been people's needs over corporate greed. This is why we're occupying Wall Street. Diane, thanks for coming on. Please plug whatever your show is going to be and add what you will to the conversation right now. Dusty, I think, is still on with us. I really want you to get what you need in there. I've only got, as you well know, about 7 minutes left. I've got about 2 minutes of things to say at the end. So come on, Diane.
Well, golly, you know, I'm so sorry that I'm late to this. I had one of my best friends from Michigan who moved to D.C. made a surprise visit to me right as I was finishing my essay this afternoon, and had to leave to go be with her children in Grand Rapids, and she just left the house. So I was unable to make a broadcast tonight. If you have extra time yourself, which you may or may not, while I'm talking, you can even go in and add an extra half hour, and I'll bullshit with you for half an hour if you've got it. If not, I'll keep this really brief.
I have not got it. We've actually run the 2 hours on this show, but I will be up again tomorrow because that's my protest to boycott the MFM, the media, the large folks that we really don't need. We're developing our own drumline, of which Wild, Wild Left Blog Talk Radio is part of. So please put out your commercial, Dolan.
Yeah, and I may well, after this show is over, go ahead and light one up for no apparent reason, or I may wait till tomorrow morning because I'm off tomorrow. The point I want to make to your listeners is I wrote a short piece today that was mostly a pictorial piece called Dear Mr. President, That Democracy Crushing Regime that you spoke about on May 16th. That would be our own. When you turn around and say, too many countries, power has been concentrated in the hands of the few. When you say things like the United States opposes the use of violence and repression against the people of the region, when you say all these things you said to the public about the Arab nations, where are you today standing up for what the people of our nation, about their right to protest legally and peacefully and not be oppressed by ridiculous arrests and abuse? Where is your voice today, Mr. President? Where is it for us? And that is really
right.
What I want to say to the people today.
I agree with you 100% there. I would also put in, while the Madison protests were going on, we did not hear from the White House on that either. He was not stepping up and supporting publicly with a lot of fanfare, which he should have been, all those people who were saying, you know, we're going to recall you people. They're still going to recall their governor this summer. Yeah.
And the Madison State House sit-in is what started all of that. And the corporate media ignored that for a long time too, just like the corporate media is ignoring the Wall Street occupation. And, you know, I named off for you earlier all of the alternative media that is covering it, and you guys, of course, are part of that, and that's the only way we're going to get the word out. Now, if Homeland Security starts moving in, then the corporate media will start covering it. I'll pretty much bet you money on that once Homeland Security starts moving in.
They've already begun.
But they haven't started nacing. You know, the local police have started their petty bullshit with putting everybody in orange pens, and that's getting a little bit of coverage, but not on the corporate media end, only on the alternative media end. So, you know, as long as everybody stays aware of the alternative media sites where they can get the most up to date information, then, you know, we can develop our network and get it out there, and eventually somehow the corporate media is going to be asked, why aren't you guys covering this?
Well, it certainly could turn turn out that way. I am down to 3 minutes, so what I do need to do is give a little information here at the end of the show. Starting tomorrow, every day, that occupation is going on in Wall Street or any city in the United States, really. I will be broadcasting Here Be Monsters. It's my protest, and a lot of it may just be stream of consciousness, so I would ask folks to take pity on me and stop in and call in and talk with me and discuss whatever they're thinking about that day. I will do at least an hour, and I will push for 2 hours, and I will give the Twitter feeds and update as much as I can about what is going on in the occupations themselves.
When's Diane's show going to be on?
But I was planning on taking like a early afternoon slot today. Again, like I said, I had company, I will be posting on Links for the Wildly Lost My Time tomorrow. I'll probably take maybe 11 to 1 slot, a lunchtime slot. So, you know, that's my game plan as of the moment. And if I'm able to do more, I will do more.
Cool.
And
I'll be there.
We got 1 minute left. I will be posting the time slots that I will be able to do this. I work for myself. So it's basically going to be when I can do it, I will get it. I will post it and get it on. But every day I will be doing it. And you can find it on round37.com. You can find it posted because we're going to have a sidebar that tells you when these shows are going to be playing. We're going to try to get as much media up as we can. Now, I want you to remember, too, on Sunday evenings from 7 to 8, Progressive News Network, and I'll be on with them in 2 weeks again. I'm sorry, that's all we got. We're going down for the count here. Thank you, everybody, who participated today, and to our new Roundtree 7 blogging member, Tricia Poole, or P.E. Nolan. Thank you, darling, for coming on board today. That's it. We're gone. We're out of here. We're bye. Occupy Wall Street. Give them love. Send it. Voila. We're gone. Bada bang. Bada boom.
Hey. I might fire up in this next half hour, so come see me. Bye.
Okay.